Most of our critics like to write about new works, either recommending them or not. But today, classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz wants to tell us about an obscure American pianist whose works are out of print.
I'm an optimist about the arts. I want to believe that what's really good will eventually come to light. You'll see an old movie on television and say, "Who is that actress? She's so real." Then you begin watching for her. One of the most important things a critic can do is remind people of the existence of lost treasures. At dinner recently, a friend said that he'd been meaning to ask me for years if I'd ever heard of a pianist named George Copeland. I was astonished. When was the last time I'd heard that name, except from a few fanatic record collectors? George Copeland didn't record very much, but I've loved the few recordings I've heard. He had an extraordinary touch, feathery, pearly, glistening, and instantly recognizable. He specialized in French Impressionism, yet there's nothing merely impressionistic about his playing. You can hear every note distinctly. Nothing gets washed away in a watery blur. He also championed 20th century Spanish composers. This music can be percussive, rhythmically charged. Yet Copeland never pounds. He seems to caress the keys. You can hear layers in his playing, foregrounds, middle distances, and backgrounds. And the fingerwork is phenomenal. Here's a dance by Manuel de Falla from an old MGM LP, which was probably reproduced from even older 78s on RCA Victor from the late 1930s or early 40s. There are only glancing allusions to George Copeland in reference books. He was born in Boston in 1882. When he was 7, his mother took him to Spain. He made his recital debut in Boston in 1905. He met Debussy in 1911 and introduced many of Debussy's major piano pieces to America. He died in Princeton, New Jersey in 1971 at the age of 89. The reason my friend asked about Copeland was that his family knew him. Copeland spent summers with them in Maine. He was charming, my friend said, and big in every way, my friend's hands reaching up, then stretching out sideways. He'd even given my friend a few piano lessons. Copeland told him never to hit the keys, but to stroke them. My friend compared Copeland's fingers on the keyboard to a delicate paintbrush moving across a canvas. This description fit my mental image of Copeland's playing exactly. Why wasn't George Copeland better known? One answer may be that he suffered from terrible stage fright. He didn't perform much, and his bad nerves sometimes interfered with his playing in public. He may also have been a victim of homophobic critics. I've looked, but can't find any of Copeland's recordings in print. Unless some record company comes to the rescue, you might never get to hear more of his playing than the excerpts you've just heard. And that's as frustrating for me as it might be for you. But remember his name, George Copeland. He was a wonderful musician, and he shouldn't be forgotten.
Lloyd Schwartz is the classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix. He talked about the music of American pianist George Copeland.